Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Mandarin Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. In today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the question and answer session with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, and it's a very interesting one, where Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he came and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some questions, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the answers to those questions. And all of this happened because Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he was teaching the Muslims their deen, subhanAllah, through the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a beautiful hadith, and the hadith is known as Hadith Jibreel. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Before we dive deep into our today's discussion, let's first and foremost recite Salawat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the hadith, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. If he was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that once we were in the blessed company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person appeared whose clothes were extremely white and his hair was extremely black. From his condition, there were no signs of journey, and he was also a stranger to every one of us. He then sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his knees also touched the knees of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He placed his palms on his thighs, like how a student sits in front of his teacher with utmost respect. He then asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, tell me about Islam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Islam is that you should bear witness on the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal and the prophethood of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read salah, give zakah, keep fast in Ramadan, and if you have the means, then perform Hajj. The stranger then replied, you have spoken the truth. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then revealed that they were surprised that this person asked the question, and after it, he also testifies to it. So the narrator of this hadith, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Sahaba who were present there, they were quite puzzled with this style of questioning and then testifying the answer when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam answers the question. However, the person then asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Iman. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that you should believe in the angels of Allah Almighty, in His divine books, in His prophets, on the day of judgment, and that all good and evil is associated with the divine decree of the Almighty. The person replied, you have spoken the truth. The person then asked about the status of Ihsan. What is Ihsan? And to that, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that you should pray to Allah Almighty in such a state as if you are looking at Him. And if you cannot find yourself in this state, then without doubt, the Almighty Allah is watching you. He then asked to be informed about the Day of Judgment. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, in this regard, the one being questioned does not know more than the one who is questioning. This person again asked, then inform me about its signs. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that the slave girl will give birth to her master, and you will see the barefoot, bare-bodied and destitute shepherds compete with each other in the construction of tall buildings. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that this person then departed and that he sat for a while. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, "O Umar, do you know who this person was?" I replied that Allah Almighty and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam know best. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied that this was Jibreel alayhi salam who came to teach you your religion. Subhanallah, this is a beautiful hadith of Sahih Muslim. And subhanAllah, it has valuable lessons for us, since in this hadith, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came to teach us our deen through this beautiful conversation that took place between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of the lessons that we learn is that a student should display respect and humility in front of one's teacher, just as Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam did when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He came and sat down with respect, and he also sat in the tashahud position, and this is a form of paying respect, and this is how a student should sit in front of his teacher. And this is also regarding the adab and the respect of the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the angel Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam had observed. And the second lesson we learn through this hadith is that in reality, Iman and Islam is one thing. There is no difference between Iman and Islam. The third thing we learn is that Allah Almighty granted His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the knowledge of the unseen, including the knowledge of the Day of Judgment. After the complete revelation of the Holy Quran, there is nothing that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't have the knowledge of. And lastly, it is not allowed to divulge in the matters of destiny, and it is obligatory to believe in it. If you use Iman, faith, it literally means to provide peace. And in Sharia terminology, Iman is the name of the Islamic beliefs by accepting which one gains protection from Allah's punishment. It includes all the articles of faith that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought from Allah. Since Iman means to believe and affirm, hence to measure the Iman is impossible, though the increase and decrease in its state is possible, since it's the root of all the forms of worship. Therefore, it ranks first to be mentioned. And hence, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, when he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned what is Iman, what are the practices of Islam, subhanallah. And it was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam who appeared in the human form as he went to Sayyida Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha in the form of a man. Angels are made of light and can form different shapes, whilst jinns are made of fire and they can also, some of them can take different forms. But their soul remains the same, their reality remains the same. Therefore, it cannot be called like shifting of the soul. He was not a traveler, although it appeared he was not a traveler. Otherwise, his hair, his clothes would have been dusty. As Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned that the signs of travels, long travels, wasn't apparent on him. So he was clearly not a person who traveled from a long distance, but he was also the individual that nobody knew about among the Sahaba. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, his black hair and white garb were compatible with his humanly appearance. Otherwise, he is light, regardless of his black hair and white clothes, as it is mentioned in the narration. The angels, Harut and Marut, they used to eat and drink while they were in human form. They could even carry out tasks that were usually carried out by humans. The stick of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had swallowed everything while in the shape of a snake. In the same manner, eating, drinking, marriage, etc. of our master beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the humanly image of the embodiment of light, were the effects of his humanly code of conduct. His luminous effects were unfolded when he spent a lengthy time without eating or drinking. It's the outcome of his luminous embodiment that Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is still residing in the heaven for hundreds of years without food or water. This person who came in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he was not a citizen of Madina Munawwara. Otherwise, the Sahaba Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and the other Sahaba that were there, they would have recognized him. But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recognized him very well, as it is apparent from the context of the hadith. He sat very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It seemed as if he already had recognized Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, or else he would have inquired as to who he was and why he was sitting so close to him in such a manner. Visitors in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and visitors of the holy shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his illuminous tomb, his Rawza Mubarakah, nowadays stand and recite. We go and recite salawat in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the same manner as the one who performs salah reads tahiyyat sitting in salah. It's the root of observing respect and reverence. For this is hadith, and it is proven, this manner of respect was proven from Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam to pay in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to sit in such respectful manner. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam has taught and proved to the Muslims of all generations the respect that sitting or standing in respect for the beloved court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not forbidden. But yes, subhanallah, this was his way of teaching how to revere and to respect the mighty court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes Islam means Iman, and seldom it is meant Islamic practices. And the name of its inner belief is Iman, faith. It is used in the sense of apparently testifying, meaning giving Shahada, and it also denotes the Islamic practices. It is now forbidden to call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by addressing him with his name, by calling O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden it in the Holy Quran. He Azza wa Jal has stated that, O people, do not make the calling of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam between yourselves the way you call one another. Allah certainly knows those who withdraw among you stealthily. So those who oppose his command should fear lest a calamity should befall them, or a painful punishment should befall them. It is mentioned in the commentary of this verse that one meaning is that, O people, do not consider the calling of Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a minor issue the way you call one another. Because if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam calls, it is necessary to respond and act, and it becomes necessary to present yourself respectfully. Another meaning is that, O people, do not call the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by using his name. Rather, call him with deep reverence, honor, and in a humble tone of voice by using words such as Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Habib Allah, or you can call Ya Imam al-Mursaleen, Ya Rasul Rabbil Alameen, Ya Khatam al-Nabiyyin. What are the meanings of such beautiful addresses to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah. Ya Nabi Allah, O Prophet of Allah. Ya Habib Allah, O Allah's Beloved. Ya Imam al-Mursaleen, O Leader of all the Prophets. Ya Rasul Rabbil Alameen, O Messenger of the Lord of all the worlds, Ya Khatam al-Nabiyyin, O the final Prophet. Subhanallah. This command is general, as it is not permissible to call the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with words that do not express respect, both during his physical life and after his apparent passing. Everything that we do, be it good or evil, is already within Allah's knowledge, which has been inscribed. This is what is meant by Allah's will. If you pay close attention to the words of a hadith, words subhanAllah, in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he mentioned as to what is destiny. For the basic knowledge, inshallah azza wa jal, we should know, and there are many books on the website of Da'wat Islami regarding the destiny and subhanAllah taqdeer, on the matters of taqdeer. And subhanAllah, there are books such as the first volume of Bahar Shariat, where the aqaid, our aqaid as beliefs of Islamic belief system, they are being discussed, alhamdulillah. So you can refer to Bahar Shariat volume 1, or there are books pertaining to aqaid, inshallah azza wa jal, the basic aqaid, you can refer to them as well and find out the details regarding our belief in aqaid, our belief when it comes to the taqdeer and the destiny. So alhamdulillah, as we read in kalima imani mufassal, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, who believe in the destiny, the good thereof and the bad thereof, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min Allah ta'ala. And in this hadith, after asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam asked the traveler who came, and at the end Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who it was in fact Jibreel alayhi salam. So Jibreel alayhi salam asked many questions. He first asked him, what is Islam? And then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Ihsan? Mal Ihsan? The objective of Ihsan and the divine words of Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioned in Surah Yunus, verse number 26, where Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, translation, for those who performed righteous deeds. And to that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as to what is Ihsan, that when you are praying, you must think in your mind that Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you cannot, then at least know that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching me. If you look for Allah Azza wa Jal, your heart would elevate with Allah's fear and you would take control of your actions. One should continue practicing the Islamic deeds with fear and wholeheartedly in this manner. Our Lord is always seeing us, but let this sink in your heart, especially when we are in salah, when we are making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inshallah, Allah willing, it will reform our salah and create humbleness and humility within our heart, which shall bring forth the pearls of tears in our eyes, inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah azza wa jal fulfill this wish of ours. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. And after that, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the occurrence of the Day of Judgment, that on which day, which month and which year will it occur, when it will come. It appears that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam believes that Allah Almighty has blessed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the knowledge of Qiyamah, because the question is posed to the one who possesses the knowledge of it, not because Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam had the intention of challenging Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the main motive was that though he had the knowledge of Qiyamah, he did not want to reveal it. One should bear in mind that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had clearly stated on different occasions and the day, the time, the date, that it will be a Friday, it will be the 10th of Muharram, with regards to the occurrence of the Day of Judgment. So yes, definitely Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the knowledge of when the Day of Qiyamah will occur. It's not absence of knowledge, otherwise he would have said that, I don't know. But it's rather the negation of excessive knowledge, meaning I do not know more about it than you do. Meaning it's the gathering of people, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, and the knowledge of Qiyamah is from amongst Allah's secrets. Then why do you urge me to unveil it? Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to this wisdom, he did not disclose it. The truth is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the knowledge of Qiyamah. And it is also mentioned in Tafsir Sawi and many of the tafasir of the Holy Quran, which is why Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam posed this question to him. And the detailed research on this matter, it can be found in the book of Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali by the name of Ja'al Haq, volume 1, inshallah azza wa jal, should you want to refer to it and study in more in depth. And it was to say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the reason as to why he didn't disclose the time and the date of the Day of Judgment, that if letting out the news of Qiyamah goes against your wisdom, then at least give a clue. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, that he again requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if it's against the wisdom to mention the exact date and the occurrence of the Day of Judgment, then at least give us a clue that what are some of the signs of the Day of Judgment. And this question unfolds that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did possess the knowledge of Qiyamah, because the signs of something are always asked from an expert who has in-depth knowledge of it. Meaning the signs that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned here, it means that the children will be disrespectful to their parents and the son will treat the mother like one treats one's slave, as if the mother gave birth to her master. It also has some other explanations, and there will be a revolution that the poor people, they will become rich and respected, and the respected personalities will be disgraced as it is seen today. Sayyidina Sikandar Dhulqarnain rahimahullah had passed the law that no one can leave their traditional occupation so that the world order remains in peace. From this we come to know that leaving one's ancestral occupation and seeking a higher one is a sign of Qiyamah and a cause of destruction for the world order. It's the manner of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put Allah azza wa jal and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in charge of knowledge, meaning to note and to say that everything is known to Allah azza wa jal and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they know best. Two points emerge out of this. One, that adding the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Allah's name, like Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, it is subhanallah, it is the sunnah. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he is found doing that. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he is doing that in Hadith Jibreel of his beloved companions, meaning Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala here and many other sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did that. They would always say that Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam know best. And it is the sunnah of the Sahaba to say that. And there is no harm in making statements such as Allah Almighty and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam know best. And or saying that may Allah and Rasul Azza wa Jal sallallahu alaihi wasallam bless you. Secondly, because he knew that the questioner was Sayyidina Jibreel alaihi wasallam, he came here so that he may ask me those questions in your presence, so you may learn your religion. It also points out that it's compulsory upon Muslims to follow the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did we notice in this hadith that Sayyidina Jibreel alaihi wasallam did not proclaim among the people present there that, O people, I am Jibreel? Did he say that? No. You should learn certain things from me. Did he say that? No. But we learned all of those things after Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam asked the question and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the answer. And the answer was alhamdulillah for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But rather, he made the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam authenticate it for them. Jibreel means Allah's servant. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, who appeared in this hadith, it means Allah's servant. Jibr means servant and Il means Allah in the Hebrew language. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, we have learned a great deal of knowledge and mashallah wisdom from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jalla grant us tawfiq to learn more about our beautiful deen of Islam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil. Ameen. Dear viewers, we have mashallah a wonderful kalam which we are going to listen to. Let's inshallah azza wa jal go and listen to the kalam, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم.
مدينة 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 مدينة
إلهي دکھا دے مدينة وہ مدينة کیسی مستی ہے چاہا دن رات بس مولا
تیری رحمت برستی ہے
مدینہ 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 مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ
الہی دکھا دے جمال مدینہ الہی دکھا دے جمال مدینہ کرم سے غفورا کرم سے غفورا سوال مدینہ
مدینہ
سبز گنبد کے جلوے دکھا مجھ کو دشت و جبال مدینہ معطر معطر ہے سب سے منور نہیں دو جہاں میں مثال مدینہ صدا رحمتوں کی برستی اپنے قدموں میں آقا دکھا دیجئے اب تو پیارا مدینہ یہ دیوان آقا مدینے کو آئیں بلا لو انہیں اب خدا را مدینہ پھروں گرد کعبہ پیوں زمزم میں پھر آ کے دیکھوں تمہارا مدینہ عطا کیجئے حاضری کی سعادت عطا کیجئے حاضری کی سعادت عنایت وہ مجھ کو عنایت وہ مجھ کو وصال مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ
مدینے میں آقا ہمیں موت آئے بنے کاش مدفن ہمارا مدینہ ہو پیارے نبی ختم لمحات فرقت میسر ہو مجھ کو وصال مدینہ پہنچ کر مدینے میں ہو جائے مولا پہنچ کر مدینے
سر پہ رکھ لینا عطار، قدم چوم کر سر پہ رکھ لینا عطار، قدم چوم کر سر پہ رکھ لینا عطار، قدم چوم کر سر پہ رکھ لینا عطار، نظر
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we were discussing this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, which we know as hadith Jibril, and it is narrated by Sayyidina Umar رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, the second Khalifa of Islam. And in this hadith, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam who came to teach you about your deen. Subhanallah. And there are different stages of ihsan. We were discussing ihsan and what it means. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he mentions that ihsan, there are two stages of ihsan. If the person has reached such a lofty and elevated position that he finds himself in the divine court of Allah Almighty, then obviously he will make certain that he is performing every minute detail in ibadah in its proper fashion. He will also make sure that internally and externally everything is completed properly. Hence, the purpose of this message is that a person should always have this thought in his mind that when he performs any ibadah, he is actually present in the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah, he has explained that the first stage of ihsan is that the heart of a Muslim should be so overwhelmed with the divine awe that he should stand in such a manner as if he is gazing upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And if he has not reached this stage of spiritual elevation, then he should always bear this thought in mind while performing the ibadah that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching me. Allama Ali Qari rahimahullah, he explains that the first stage of ihsan indicates to the state of an arif, of the one who has gained the recognition of Allah Azza wa Jal and the inner dimension of his spiritual self or the heart. In other words, a true arif is that person who is overtaken by such a state that if he is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second state is that of an abid or of a worshipper who, whenever he is performing the ibadah, he is also conscious of the fact that Allah azza wa jal is watching him. We see that when an ordinary person is employed by someone and has long as the employer of this person is watching him, he will make sure that he makes no mistake whilst he is completing a certain task. The true worshipper also is like this person, always making sure that every detail of ibadah is faultless, is flawless. The first part of ihsan is certainly the state of those special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have already achieved this state. The special quality of these servants of Allah azza wa jal is that when any bounty comes to them, they do not look at the bounty, but they look at the being, the divine being who has blessed them with this bounty. In like manner, when any test or illness comes to them, they are not concerned about the test or the illness which has come or the effects of this illness, such as pain and hardship, but in all moments they are, subhanallah, immersed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are in this state are always immersed in seeing Allah azza wa jal, the ma'rifah of Allah Almighty. This is one of the reasons that one day, while people were reading salah in a masjid, a snake fell from the ceiling and everyone broke their salah and ran except Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. As far as this great Imam was concerned, he was not even aware that a snake had appeared, subhanallah. And this beautiful devotion of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala is explained in Tafsir Kabir. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he admires this quality and this subhanallah focus of Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi in his salah. Everybody ran but Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he didn't bother about it. In like manner, Urwa bin Mas'ud had a major wound in one part of his limb and it was recommended that it should be cut away. However, while he was in salah, this part was cut off and he did not even notice the slightest bit of what had happened. All the pain and taklif, it just vanished because he was so engrossed in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is mentioned regarding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that an arrow had pierced and there was this weapon that was lodged into his body and it couldn't be taken out. It was so painful. And when he stood up for salah, it was then taken out without any hesitation. Subhanallah. So once Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala was reading salah, and after salah he picked up the upper portion of his kurta and asked one of his students to see what was under it. The student was shocked to see that there was a scorpion present there and it had bitten the great Imam nearly 16 times, and every part of this area which had been stung was swollen. The student asked as to why did the Imam not break his salah on the first occasion when the first bite happened. The Imam replied, "I was so immersed and spiritually overwhelmed by the verses of the Holy Quran I was reading that I did not even notice that I was stung." Subhanallah. This is the care and the devotion that they expressed in their salah and in their ibadah. These great personalities of Islam became so overawed and amazed by the divine manifestation that they were seeing that that they noticed nothing around them. Nothing else mattered. Imagine if people are so amazed and fixated at the bounty of a mere creation such as Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that the females in that time, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran, in the royal court of Egypt, actually cut their fingers instead of the lemon that they were supposed to cut in their hand. What would be the state of those people who are actually looking at the divine manifestation? Allah, Allah, subhanallah. Allama Ali Qari rahimahullah, he explains that there are categories of those worshippers and abid regarding their state of iman. The first is that a person who performs ibadah because he is fearful of jahannam and is also earnestly in need of reward. It is said that the state of his iman is ilmul yaqeen and his worship is called ibadah. The second type of individual is that the person who performs obedience with genuine spiritual enthusiasm, his iman is considered as aynul yaqeen and his state of ibadah is considered as ubudiyyah. The third type of person is that person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he sincerely believes that he is the servant of Allah azza wa jal and the duty of a slave is to serve his master. The state of his obedience is called haqqul yaqeen and the state of his worship in this case is called ubudah. The common Muslims like us are those who are considered to be in the third category. In other words, our state of obedience and iman is ilmul yaqeen, meaning it is just that worship as a worshipper. We make sincere dua that Allah Azza wa Jal blesses us with the state of the other two categories of iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true devotion Dear viewers, we have discussed, subhanallah, some lessons from this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this parable, hadith of Jibreel. And we also mentioned regarding ihsan that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught the sahaba about upon the question of Sayyidina Jibreel alaihi salam. And then there were some signs of the Day of Judgment that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discussed, which we are going to discuss further, inshallah azza wa jal. For now, we are going to listen to a beautiful nasiha and madani pearl from the Mubaligh of Da'wat Islam. Let's inshallah azza wa jal go and listen to the madani pearl. Thereafter, we shall return and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the great book Ihya ul-Ulum, Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes that Sayyidina Rabi' bin Khaysam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he would keep lowering his head and his eyes. Even some people, by observing him doing this, they would think that he's gone blind. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would habitually visit the home of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a great sahabi. For how long? For 20 years he would visit him. When one of the servants of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu would see Sayyidina Rabi' bin Khaysam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, then they would tell Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that your blind friend has arrived. He radiyallahu anhu would smile when he heard these words. When Sayyidina Rabi' bin Khaysam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would knock at the door, the servant would find him lowering his head and lowering his gaze as well. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, when he would see Sayyidina Rabi' bin Khaysam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he would recite the verse of the Holy Quran, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ, and give glad tidings, O dear Prophet, to the humble. After reciting this blessed verse of the glorious Quran, he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would say, by Allah Azza wa Jal, if the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would see you, he would become happy. According to one narration, he said, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would like you. And yet another narration states that he said, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would smile seeing you.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah. You are listening to this amazing nasiha and madani pearl from the Mubaligh of Da'wat Islami. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq to make amal on it. Ameen bi jahi nabi. Ameen. Dear viewers, the last portion of the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us regarding the belief in the Day of Judgment and some of its signs, when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wa sallam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at one time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by a villager that mata sa'a ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the Day of Judgment? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him, have you prepared for it? And then the sahaba mentioned, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we haven't performed much nawafil, but we know and we are certain of one fact, that we love Allah azza wa jal and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, that a man will be with the one whom he loves. Subhanallah, the Day of Judgment will be with the one whom we love. And the sahaba were overjoyed on this matter. The narrator of this hadith, Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the sahaba were not this happy ever since they had brought Iman, subhanAllah. That was the first occasion when they were overjoyed, subhanAllah, when they embraced Islam. And now, the second time was this time, subhanAllah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it to the Sahaba. And it is important, dear viewers, to have faith on the Day of Judgment, as this is the fundamental beliefs of the Muslims and from the necessities of the deen. When will the day of judgment arrive? True knowledge of this is known by Allah Azza wa Jal, and through the bestowal of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, it is known by His beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. However, many signs of the day of judgment have been mentioned in the glorious Quran and the blessed Hadith, and the appearance of these signs indicates that the day of judgment is approaching. Inshallah Azza wa Jal will, in the light of the Hadith, as some signs of the Day of Judgment were mentioned, we'll inshallah Azza wa Jal explore on them. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, as he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that inform me about the Day of Judgment. To that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one being asked about the Day of Judgment does not know more than the one who's asking. So he said, inform me about its signs. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that the slave girl will give birth to her master, and you will see the barefoot, bare-bodied and destitute shepherds compete with each other in the construction of tall buildings. And in the light of this, we learn that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, when he came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned certain signs of the Day of Judgment. And what were those signs Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned? That Sayyidina Jibreel alaihi wasallam knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aware of the matters of the unseen. And it is stated in the blessed hadith that the day of judgment will take place on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. The fifth thing that we come to know from this hadith, that the day of judgment will definitely come. But there are some signs that will appear before the day approaches. And it will indicate to the fact that the day of judgment is certainly approaching. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that who is aware of the unseen, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has the knowledge of the unseen, he mentioned two signs. One, that the slave girl will give birth to her master, and the second is that the barefoot, bare-bodied and destitute shepherds will compete with each other in constructing tall buildings. Further explanation of these two, inshallah azza wa jal, is that in the light of this hadith, many signs of the Day of Judgment have been mentioned, and some signs are even mentioned in other books such as Bahar al-Shariat, that knowledge will be lifted. When no Islamic scholar remains, the people out of compulsion will take ignorant people as their guides. Then they will ask them religious questions and they will give legal verdicts without knowledge. They will be misguided themselves and they will misguide others as well. It is also mentioned one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that ignorance will be at rise. Adultery and consumption of alcohol will be widespread. There will be few men and more women. To such an extent that one man will have 50 female dependents. There will be an abundance of wealth. Holding on to the religion will be as difficult as holding on to a hot coal. Time will have no blessing, such that a year will be like a month like a week like a day, and a day will be like something catching fire and extinguishing quickly after intensifying. Paying zakat will become so difficult that people will be considering it as a fine. Religious knowledge will be sought, but not for the sake of the religion. Men will be obedient to their wives. They will disobey their parents. They will keep the company of friends but abandon their father. People will shout in the masjid. Masjid will be a place where people will shout. Music will be widespread. People will curse the previous generations and speak ill of them. The disgraced people who had no clothes or shoes will take pride in tall buildings and building skyscrapers. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq to mend our ways before the Day of Judgment and its signs appear. Ameen. Bijahin Nabijil Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the obedient servants. Ameen. Bijahin Nabijil Ameen. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Islamic parables. Islamic parables, timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic Islamic parables.